I'm just going to go over who I believe is with us, so that we don't all talk over each other in the saying hello part. And then if I don't mention you, please definitely do speak up so that we make sure we hear from you, because if you're not on the computer system, it may be simply that I'm not aware that you're there. So of course, we have our BBI staff who are helping us moderate this session. I see William and Dean from OPC have joined us. I know Helga has joined us from Kentucky and Dave from Nebraska. I see Doug from the WinTAC, Mindy from IEL, Janet from ODEP, Barry and Pam, I see you from the Southeast ADA Center. Rebecca, I see you from NDI. Have I left anybody out?
Well, just that Dave is not from Nebraska, actually.
Dave, why do I keep saying that?
I don't know. I don't eat that much corn. Come on.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'm from National Disability Institute, DEI, Technical Assistant Liaison.
Yes. Yeah. I'm getting my ends confused. I'm very sorry.
Quite all right. I'm in Sacramento.
This is Zach Harder on the call. I am a corn husker, so you got to be careful there, Dave.
There you go.
I can't eat corn just because I put on too many love handles when I eat too much corn. That's all.
All right, we can accept that.
Zach, I'm a corn husker myself. I went to graduate school there and met my husband in graduate school, so very fond of Go Big Red.
Awesome. Good to hear.
Hail Tom Osborne, right?
Yeah, he's still the walking legend around here. Yep.
All right. Did I miss anybody else or misconstrue anybody else? And again, my apologies. Great. Your mom went to high school with John Osborne? So many connections. We'll have to explore this in a whole separate webinar somehow. Okay, so for today, as everybody got the email, I hope, that's working through the listserv. If not, certainly let us know if you're having difficulties either receiving emails or responding to the listserv. I will just ask again that if everyone hasn't already done so, I know I'm starting to get the information, do send me your bios and just a little blurb about your program. If you're willing to share, you know, a small logo or just permission that we can rip it off your website, I'd love to sort of build out our site more robustly to indicate who our members are, provide some information about them, and just start getting familiar with each other in different ways. So please keep us posted with that information. In addition, the emails that went out through the listserv, the initial ones a few weeks ago, had a link where not only could you add the specific meeting to your calendar, but you could add the meeting in a recurring way to your calendar. So just to make it easy for you to make this a regular part of your schedule and not have to sort of track down each time where it's coming up. Let us know if those are working for you too, or if you have any difficulty using that, and we will definitely make sure we correct what we can. Okay, so for today's meeting, some introductions as to who our speakers are. I'll help facilitate the discussion, and Michael will be joining us to help facilitate the discussion as well. We also have from OPC to present on their model as usual. We'll have Dean, Jay, and Matt. They will be presenting on pre-joining OPC career exploration strategies that they use and post-joining OPC. So, of course, these are all occurring under the auspices of OPC, but Dean will talk about what he does when he's doing outreach with high school students and beginning students and scholars. And then Jay and Matt will, of course, discuss what happens once students join OPC. Jay, as you know, has been with us before and talked about their career-based strategies. And as we mentioned on our last meeting, Jay has now moved to OAR, the office that supports students with disabilities at OCC, where that is what he focuses on, and Matt is taking over some of the career-based activities. So, not everyone joining us today. This slide is a general slide of our membership. We did introductions at the beginning, and I hear some dings, so I might actually pause since we're on this slide and just confirm. Has anybody from Pellissippi joined us today?
Okay, Mira, that was me. I had to call, and I had some technical difficulties. This is Dean from Onondaga.
Oh, okay, great. Just in and out then. I'll just quickly go down the list. Do we have any
Sheldon
from Georgia?
Sheldon here as well from ODAP.
Hey, Sheldon. Hello. And Janet, too. Okay, from Kentucky, I know we have Helga. From Nebraska, I know we have Zach. Any others? Virginia? Dave, I know we have you from DEI. I've got my head on straight now. Any other DEI projects? We've got Doug from WinTAC, and we've got Janet and Sheldon from ODEP and Mindy from IEL as well. I should list IEL and CWD down here, Mindy, for you as well. Okay. So as I mentioned, our agenda is just to discuss career exploration from the perspective of how you can start this, you know, at the beginning, before the beginning, as it were, and then have it continue to proceed, because of course it's an ongoing process and students are evolving in their perspectives, particularly as they enter college and start to learn about other opportunities that they may not have considered previously. I will provide just some background and best practices that have been promulgated previously, and I would love to hear at the end from some of our other OPC members. Again, thank you for those of you who have sent me information. I also did a little internet sleuthing and put up some information from some of the other programs that I hadn't yet heard from, but I would love if we could just hear from you about what you do with respect to career exploration as well. Okay, so Mindy, thank you for all the wonderful resources that your organization always provides. They're my first go-to. And looking at when they talk about career exploration activities, it's clear that they are very important to help identify what the students might be interested in and align that to their possible careers of interest. Certainly, there's a lot of assumptions that go into what a certain type of job or career might entail, but through career exploration, students can really start to understand what are the specific skills that they would need, what are the activities that would be associated with the careers that sound interesting, but what are they really, I guess is one way to say that. And then if it's still interesting to them, to really start thinking through what the post-secondary training might be that's required to pursue one of those careers. Do they need two-year or four-year degrees? Do they need to pursue this through to a graduate program? So career exploration really is about building out their understanding of what it is they think they want to do and may be interested in. You are clear to mention to us, Mindy, your organization emphasizes that obviously there has to be a quality learning environment. This can improve, research demonstrates to us, thank you, Mindy, research demonstrates to us that students who do experience career exploration activities and effective transition services and quality learning environments will have higher career search self-efficacy. They will have more confidence that they can do this and they can do it well. And that will help them pursue their goals and you know, really perseverate, which has also been shown by research to really get students to effective outcomes and get people to effective outcomes in their careers. They have to have this sort of characteristic of tenacity, and providing them with good, strong experiences can help them believe in their ability, that with tenacity they will get there. And this, of course, relates to higher academic self-efficacy. efficacy, which is important, as we know. When they begin college, they begin pursuit of certain programs and goals, but they often change them around, and sometimes changing them can be a function of thinking they may not be able to succeed. And so it's wonderful that these kinds of activities can not only help them believe they can succeed, but move towards those goals effectively. So in that vein, what are quality learning environments? Not to drop that thread, IEL has also posted guideposts for success. And when it comes to career preparation, which is the second guidepost, and thinking about quality learning environments, they do mention that providing career assessments can really be a strong factor. Helping identify, providing structured exposure to post-secondary education and other lifelong learning opportunities. And I see that Dave has asked us a question about whether anyone has used the core gift assessment. So in that vein, I will turn it over to Dean and the audience to see if anyone has done that in their program, or Dean, if you've ever used that either at OCC or elsewhere.
This is Dean speaking. I have not used the core gift assessment in my role at OCC or any previous roles.
Thanks. This is Dave asking the question. I just recently did a site visit out to the Idaho Youth DEI Project, and they've just recently gone through the core gift assessment training and started using it with youth with disabilities. And it seems like an incredible way to break through lots of communication and fear barriers of youth who have not really made connections with providers, something that I would, you know, highly suggest that you at least take a look at, because they really are looking at it as an incredible resource, something to the effect of being used as an ILP of sorts, but, you know, we're trying to figure out how they fit together with the ICDP also, so just wanted to bring that up.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Dave, I will certainly look that up. I'd like to post that as a resource to our website along with the materials from this meeting. So I'll be in touch. If I can't find it, I might poke you just to help me with that. But that sounds great. Thank you. Okay. In addition, the guideposts note that it's important to understand the relationships between benefits planning and career choices. I know William has spoken to our audience before about benefits planning that is occurring through the OPC program. That is something that they actively wove in, understanding its importance. And I'm sure many of the other programs are as well. Those might be natural activities that are taking place by virtue of the other services you're also providing as agencies. Learning to communicate disability-related work support and accommodation needs, that is something we can elaborate on in a future meeting, but something that we have been connected with the Georgia Vocational Rehabilitation Agency's Career Pathways Program and providing them modularized trainings, modularized materials, and trainings on how to use them with students, so that there's really a curriculum. There's PowerPoint materials, there are interactive exercises that just help walk students through the process of thinking about how do you advocate for yourself, and in a work setting, how do you ask for accommodations, and what can you expect to help you do your job. So these materials might be useful for some of the other projects, and we'd love to share that. Learning to find and formally request and secure appropriate supports and reasonable accommodations, not just in the education setting, but also when receiving training, also when in employment. And with that, I will pause and see if there are any thoughts or additional questions. And it looks like IEL and NCWD will have some additional resources forthcoming with respect to career assessments. So we will also stay tuned and share those when available. Okay, with that, I will turn it off to Dean to talk about what he does with pre-college career exploration.
Thank you, Mira. So my role with the project is really outreach and recruitment and trying to identify students that are eligible for our Pathways to Careers program. And so in our program, we really try to emphasize career exploration and career planning as early as we can, and that includes even before students are matriculated into our Pathways program. So in my recruitment efforts, I really try to emphasize that and use a variety of different tools. So I'll talk about ways in which we do career exploration and career planning with students before they're in the Pathways program. So a couple of things we'll highlight is high school outreach to both inclusive and special education classrooms. Our Onondaga Pathways to Career Scholars program, which is, we've talked on other community practice calls about, is our college preparatory program for high school seniors with disabilities, and then our individualized career exploration with students and families. You can go ahead and advance. Thank you. And so a lot of what I do is outreach to secondary schools, really the age group of 14 to 21. And so, of course, I could go into these schools and talk about the Pathways to Careers program and the elements that we have and talk about it as a transition program. But and also doing that, we've used career exploration as a way to get into classrooms. It gives something to students that may not be interested in attending OCC or a post-secondary institution after they graduate from high school. And so I've been able to do this with both inclusive classrooms, so students that are both in general education and with students that have disabilities. And I've also been able to target special education classrooms as well. So our real goal is to increase occupational literacy. So many students have an idea what they want to do. They have an occupation in mind, but they're not really keen on what they need to do to get there. You know, what credential do I need? What types of experiential experiences do I need to access that career? So we really help dig through that so that if a student says, I want to work as a mechanical engineer, okay, they might think they're ready for that type of career, but they're not really keen on what type of training do I need for that. So we really try to help take students through that process. And in doing so, we'll introduce them to a variety of career and personality inventories. So there's just a couple that we've used, the Myers-Briggs Typology Indicator, the Hollins-Codes assessment. So that really gives them an idea of what they're good at and what their national, what types of careers they might want to think about based on their interests. Also on these high school visits, we've utilized peer mentors, which are students that are in the Pathways to Careers program at OCC that have been successful, that have really benefited from our services. And they've been able to talk about their process of finding a career that they're excited about and that they've chosen. And many of these students have switched their careers and their majors at OCC at several different occasions. So it really gives students an idea that, okay, I don't have to be totally set on what I want to do at age 16. There's opportunity for me to change and explore and figure out things about myself. And then lastly, it really assists students in evaluating their readiness for their desired career. You know, I know I've gone into the classrooms where students have indicated that they're interested in a specific career, and after, you know, doing a career exploration exercise, they understand, okay, I really have to make a plan for myself. This isn't just going to happen for me. And in so doing this, it gives students some tools to work with, and it helps us in terms of recruitment, identify students that might be eligible and really be able to benefit from our Pathways to Careers program. You can go ahead and advance the slide. And this is just a snapshot of one of the tools that we use here at OCC called Career Coach, which is an open access tool that you can access from anywhere, and it's linked to OCC. So this is just a snapshot of what students see when they can do career exploration through this site. And so they can search for a specific career. They can type anything as broadly as they want into that. If they can enter a program that might interest them at the college level. If they're not sure where to start, that prompts them to take a career assessment. And Career Coach, it's actually the Holland assessment, which is one that we regularly use at, with the OPC project. And they're also able to see hot jobs in the local area. So where is there a high demand for employment in the central New York region? So they're able to see salaries associated with that, what credential they need to access that career. So, and this is linked to OCC's academic major. So OCC and OPC have invested in this tool to help students engage in career exploration. And we found it really useful, and it's one great thing about it is students can access it from anywhere. They don't have to be at their school. They don't have to be with us. They can use it at home with their friends or their family or anytime they feel like maybe just playing around with it and learning more about careers. A second way we engage students in career exploration prior to being involved in the Pathways to Careers program is through our Onondaga Pathways to Career Scholars program, which is a college preparatory program that we have built at the college, where currently we have about 25 high school seniors from the local area, where they come to the college once a month on a Saturday and engage in activities that better prepare them for life after high school. And specifically in our case, it's mostly students that are thinking about attending college, and many of them are on track to attend Onondaga Community College. And so out of the 9 sessions that we have over the course of the academic year, 3 are really heavily embedded in career exploration. And so we've really carved out 3 workshops in the curriculum that are focused on career exploration and planning. And so we used a variety of ways to use this or to engage in career exploration. We've had guest speakers. We've had a guest speaker talk about inclusive entrepreneurship and how individuals with disabilities have been successful entrepreneurs and what that path looks like and what are some of the barriers, what are some of the successes. We've engaged them in collaborative learning where really they're sharing suggestions with their peers and helping each other career develop and career plan, helping each other. And we used a variety of self-assessments, and we've used NCWD's Guiding Your Success tool, which is a way for students to kind of look at the guideposts that Mira had mentioned in the earlier slides and evaluate how they've engaged in activities that have fulfilled the guideposts, and specifically guidepost number 2, which focuses on career exploration. Students are able to, at the end of the 3rd session of career planning, they're able to really look at that and say, okay, what activities have I engaged in over the last couple of months to help figure out what I want to do after high school? And then the great thing about the Scholars Program is that if students choose to enroll in Onondaga Community College after completing Scholars, they continue to receive services through our staff. So they become part of the Pathways to Careers program. So there's a continuity of services between what they got in high school with the Scholars Program in terms of career development and career exploration and what they'll get from my colleagues once they're matriculated students at the college. And then lastly, what will happen a lot with our Pathways to Careers program is we'll get inquiries from parents or families or students that say, hey, we've heard about this unique program that there is at Onondaga Community College that can benefit me or my student. We want to learn more about it. Can we come meet with you? And so, of course, I could meet with them and talk about the program and you know, what are the elements of the program, what are our staffing, what are some of the things that are available to students. But many times students come and they don't know what they want to do once they exit high school. So that's a perfect opportunity for us to engage them in a career one-on-one career exploration kind of conversation or exercise. And so it can be more of a informal conversation where we just kind of talk and plan and talk about, you know, what are some things that interest you, and introduce them to a variety of resources to take an assessment or access something. We can introduce them to Career Coach as a tool because it's open access, and so they don't have to sit with me and do a career exploration exercise. They can go home and work at it at home with their family or by themselves. And so it just gives me a good opportunity to provide that career exploration with students one-on-one rather than just talk about the elements of the program. And and also provide them with other resources to make informed decisions about what they want to do after high school. So not just OPC, but other things in our community that are a great transition tool for whether they want to go into post-secondary education, where they want to enter the workforce or a job training program. So by meeting with students on a one-on-one basis, it gives me the opportunity to do those things. Any questions regarding kind of the career exploration end of what goes on prior to matriculation into our Pathways to Careers program or before they're college students? Okay.
Thank you, Dean. Thank you. And thank you, Mindy. I see that you've provided the link to one of the resources that Dean mentioned over in our chat box, and we'll make sure to get that up on our website as well. Okay. Well, with no further questions, Jay and Matt, do I have you on the line? I don't see you in my web space, but that could be because you're on the phone. William or Dean, do you have Jay or Matt with you?
No, we don't. We're in a different location. I will try and reach them separately. One second.
So Jay and Matt were going to help us understand what happens in the transition once the students come on board. Dean has certainly helped us understand how he engages in career exploration with those prior to beginning OPC. And then, of course, when you mention Career Coach, Dean, as you mentioned, it's something that's really open access and available to them in an ongoing way. And it really does seem to be an excellent sort of, across the continuum of time tool, because I recall in the slide, the snapshot you showed, it also provides a link to Purple Briefcase, which is a tool that I know the OCCD students continue to use as they're developing their portfolios towards employment, like building their resumes. They can see, I think, mock interviews through that system and just, begin to continue their career preparation through that tool. Okay, well, I think, should we return to this?
This is William. I can jump in for just 1 second. Jay will be joining us on the phone momentarily. Matt has been pulled away with student needs, but Jay will be able to speak to some of the things as soon as he joins.
Oh, great. Okay. Thank you, William. I like this cartoon that they've put together for us on this slide. I think it exemplifies nicely with the student just throwing their hands in the air saying, I can't decide, I don't know what I want. That's, I think, something probably all of us have encountered both in our personal lives, but certainly in our work with students. But in all fairness, it's an exciting time when you're in college and there are so many opportunities available to you, and so many things you're learning about for the first time, it can be hard to have to force yourself to narrow down. I think that's actually probably the one hallmark of my career as well, as a student and post-student. Even in my graduate days, I remember advisors saying, narrow down your projects. Why do you have to work on so many? And instead, what I did was come and find a home at BBI where I was allowed to work on 17 different projects. So sometimes I can't decide. I don't know what I want might just be the answer. So while we wait for Jay to join us by phone, I can see that basically they're getting more from the general exploration phase to starting to focus towards thinking about the OPC majors and the careers that are associated with those, and getting specific with their skill sets as well, understanding how to search out those jobs and what skills you need to do it. Starting to think about their specific goals and setting some. It would be interesting to hear from some of our partner programs here on the line, because I think a lot of these, as I was looking through materials, a lot of the high growth industries that have been identified really seem to overlap across the programs, and that makes sense. These are just the growth careers of our times across the country: manufacturing, information technology, health. It just seems to be sort of the core components. But that's great, because that just increases the relevance of all the sharing we're doing. But we all the programs seem to have slightly different approaches to where they are targeted, how they are enrolling students. So it will be interesting to hear from you about your various exploration strategies as you're bringing students into these careers. And particularly Nebraska, I know you're actually looking at career advancement and then backfilling positions, so that will be interesting to hear too. And it looks like Jay and Matt were able to join us. Jay and Matt, welcome. We were enjoying your first slide with the cartoon, and certainly resonating with what it teaches us about students and the level and the place that they're at. And I made a little joke about how I'm pretty much perpetually there, as you probably well know. And now we're looking at your first slide. If you wouldn't mind, I'll turn it over to you. Audio is not coming through to me, but I am on the conference line. Does anyone else hear Jay or Matt?
Jay and Matt, are you on the telephone line?
No.
You can type in the chat area.
Oh, I hear a ding.
Matt and Jay from OPC. I know where you are.
Welcome, Matt and Jay from OAR and OPC. Good to have you with us. We just went through your title slide, which we all enjoyed the cartoon very much. And you can take it away now. Thank you for coming. We know you have other commitments tugging away at you as well. We appreciate it.
That's not a problem. Well, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jay Harrison. I'm Assistant Director of the OAR office, and I started this project as the Employment Coordinator. And I'm going to talk about some of the things that we currently have been doing with students that's been successful. And then Matt, as the Career Coach, will take over and talk about some additions and some things that they're adding to the okay? So I'll start the first slide. The goal of the program in terms of career goals for students is to increase career and self-awareness. And we do that through developing job search skills with students, one-on-one meetings where we create career goals with them. So we can bring awareness into the fields that the OPC major in, which is manufacturing, information technology, health, criminal justice, media, and hospitality. Next slide, please. And we continue to develop their employability skills and soft skills as they progress in the program. Another feature of the program is helping young people develop leadership skills. And we accomplish through our peer mentor program, which we train students to be ambassadors for our program. We do cross-training across campus with our other student employment programs we have on campus. They're trained through Res Life. They receive the RA training, residential A training. They also receive training from students who do tours on campus, as well as we work with the HR on our campus to make sure that the students have they have the skills to de-escalate such situations that they're in. So they do a de-escalation technique training with HR. Once students are employed as OPC peer mentor, we have them attend conferences with OPC staff. They lead workshops and work with students as mentors. And we do it in an organic fashion where we put them in leadership role and hope that students will gravitate towards them and would want them to be their mentor. We also help students gain exposure and experience through work-based learning opportunities such as internships, job shadowing, volunteering, service learning, and site visits. Next slide, please. Now, we also, during intake and sometimes through our scholars program, which I believe in the previous slides, Dean had talked about that. Am I correct with that?
Yes.
Yes, sorry. So we have students do a career assessment. We do the Hollands with them. The Hollands is an assessment that assesses students' work their personalities with their work styles. And we use this really to have a student do a self-exploration, try to identify what is their career interest. Although the program does focus on the career areas I mentioned before, we do note that students tend to change their majors as well as their career interests once they enroll in college or as they further develop their careers. So the career assessment uses the Hollands, which is the most common assessment used with OLNET and most workforce or labor departments. And we find that our students tend to match up with the career interest that they choose as a major at OCC, but we also use this in terms of advisement so that when students realize that this may not be the career path for them, that maybe there's some other careers that we can explore. Next slide. Now, during career exploration, this is where we really want to give students that exposure to really start doing research and exploring the careers. And we tend to use three websites to give them that opportunity to explore the careers. The first one is My Next Move, which is OLNET, but it's a more user-friendly format. And students are able to use this to get particular stats on which careers are growing, declining, salaries, what type of education they may need. We also use Big Futures, Big Future by the College Board, and I know that College Board is most commonly known for SATs, but they also have a major career search option, which allows students to get the same information they would receive from OLNET, but it's what makes it unique is that it also based that information on the major students the students select. So it doesn't just give them that it doesn't just give them the information on particular careers, but on college majors. And the last program we use that we have students use for research is Career Coach. So this is a program that we launched here at the college, would allow students to tie in those careers with the majors we have here at OCC. So they all provide the same type of information, which is you know, the stats based on the credit they're interested in, but each have a different function. Next slide. Sorry, next slide. Thank you. So we also use work-based learning as an opportunity to really give students that exposure in that field, to give them that real-life work experience, so that they can really gauge whether or not this is the right field for me. I often tell students sometimes we view decisions in our life as a, you know, an option to say, I don't like something, to learn something new. So it's really a process of elimination versus a process of really finding a good fit. So we use internships, job training, volunteer experience, and service learning and site visits to really give those students a sense of this is what you're preparing for, and this is, you know, the career you're guarantors, and see if it's a good fit for them. Next slide. Now, there are a lot of ways we try to engage students in the career development. The most common way is one-on-one advisement. So this is an opportunity for us to sit down with students who have finished the assessments, identify careers that they're interested in, and using those work-based learning opportunities to really explore those fields or get their exposure, but also work with them as we, you know, take those necessary steps to make sure that they're on track academically as well as on track with attaining those career goals. And we also use group settings to accomplish this in workshops, learning communities. We often go into the classrooms with certain faculty members that we have good relationships with to do a resume writing class, or sometimes we do a networking class as well. And below that, you see some of the topics that we also cover, which is job search skills, effective interviewing, salary negotiation. I already mentioned work-based learning as one of the tools we use for career development. But one of the key tools that we use is an action plan, which is a plan that we work with students each semester to help develop these goals and create and develop these skills. Next slide. So the action plan is really the best way to think of it is a goal-setting plan, goal-setting worksheet. So students really just sit down with a coordinator and identify ways to achieve their goals. And we take the concept that long-term goals, to achieve the long-term goals, we kind of break them into short-term goals and able to help them achieve these goals. And I have an example to show you. But we really want to work on developing the whole student with these action plans. It helps develop relationships with the coordinator and the student, as well as give the student some ownership and allow us to, you know, plan some check-ins as well. And, you know, the action plan doesn't just focus on careers. It also focuses on academic goals students may have or some personal goals. For example, if a student needs help in time management, and we will develop some techniques to talk about, you know, some ways how we can attain that goal. I'm horrible at time management with this calling in this time, but please be patient with me. But these are some of the things that we work on with students with. Next slide. So this is an example of a sample, of an action plan. And we sit down with students and the student identify a goal. So for this student in particular, Jay Harrison, identified that they want to create a resume so they can get an internship. So after we identify the goal, we identify the resources available, the supports they can receive on campus or outside of campus. And this student identified that they can get help from our career center we have here on campus, as well as their coordinator, Jay Harrison. And this student is an EOP student. So the student can also get support from the staff there as well. And what's great about this plan is once we identify these supports, it allows the coordinator and the career coach to really figure out if a student is, you know, working towards this goal by checking in with each of these resources. that the student has that sense of community that's working together to help them towards this goal. We also then, next step is ask the student to identify, you know, what tasks or, you know, what actions are you going to take in able to attain this goal. And this student identify attending some OPC workshops and resume writing and internship workshop, as well as attending workshops with the Career Center. Now, if this student wanted to, you know, we give suggestions in terms of, you know, some other actions they may take, but the idea is really for them to develop their own actions that they feel confident that they'll be able to do. The last part is the evidence of achievement. And this is what we ask the students, so what proof will you have enable for us to know that you achieved this goal? And for this student, they identify getting an internship or getting an interview. And that's key because we want to make sure that they establish, you know, what that evidence for them would be for achieving this goal. A student can easily have have a completed resume, or even a student can have start my first day of my internship. So it's really just trying to allow them to choose what type of measure they view would be a good fit for the evidence of achievement. And midway through, you know, we decide like a month, or some students choose 2 weeks or a week for us to review whether or not they have attained this goal. And below that, you'll see, are there any risks or obstacles to attaining this goal? And for a lot of our students, this is an opportunity for us to provide additional support services. So with this particular student, they identify that they don't have interview attire. So we would work with organizations or the program itself would try to see if there's ways we can help the student, you know, get this obstacle out of the way. It's important for us to identify that a lot of our students will come in with barriers. So we want to make sure that we address these barriers when we talk with them in terms of career development and identify how they're going to attain these goals. Because sometimes students may not view certain things in their life as a barrier, and it's, you know, really a benefit for us to really sit down and have these, you know, heart-to-heart and honest conversations with them. Because another barrier for a lot of our students, which is common for a lot of students looking for employment, is transportation. And that sometimes will come up. So for this student, maybe transportation is a barrier. They don't have access to a automobile, or maybe the place that they're interested in an internship is not within the means of public transportation. So these are conversations we need to have with the students, and it can be part, that can actually be in addition to their action plan to work on getting their driver's license and ID. Sorry, next slide. All right,
this is Matt Horan. I'm the career readiness coach with the OPC project. And as Jay did a very thorough overview of what we're doing, and coming up, we're ending the spring semester now, but through the summer and into the fall, we're going to really plan to beef up and ramp up on certain areas of the project. One of those being employability skills training, and in partnering with our workforce development staff, we have learned of a tool that they have, a separate assessment that really hones in on employability skills and the things it takes to be a good employee and remain a good employee, sort of the soft skills sort of things, rather than the specific skills needed for a job. So the assessment is pretty thorough. Video-based, user-friendly, and accessible, and we were able to kind of utilize the results and plan based on them for the need of the students in general for our ongoing seminars and workshops that we offer. In conjunction with that, we'll still continue to do some intense one-on-one career advising and counseling. Students right now who are nearing graduation or maybe planning to transfer want some experience under their belts, and but they might not have a resume yet, or they may have attended a resume workshop but haven't really submitted one for approval yet. So we're kind of focusing in on those things to make sure Students all have their professional documents in line and really know how to navigate the job search world and be prepared for interviews and that sort of thing. So next slide. Thank you. And another one of our big ventures right now is to enhance our work-based learning opportunities. Jay outlined what those were previously, but now it's really a focus on broadening and expanding our network of employers that are in tune with the mission of our program and project, but also in the fields of industry that the students are looking to venture into. Two of our big major computer information systems and electronic media communications, for example, and our current network of employers more along the lines of manufacturing and hospitality, so we kind of have to target other areas, but also intensify the areas that we have available right now as well. So a lot of stuff going on, a lot of stuff to be going on, and we'll take any questions.
I see that we had a question from Doug about, I believe, perhaps the planning that Jay was discussing and whether 13 months seemed reasonable. Have you had any experience moving students quickly through it, or are they taking long in what you've seen so far?
In regards to, I'm sorry.
The action plan that you put together, is that the question, Doug?
Yes,
okay. So, yeah, so the action plan, and I noticed that there seems to be a typo with the review date, with the year being 16, and it started on the 15th. We perform the action plan each semester, so there's one completed in this fall and one completed in the spring. And I don't know if that answers your question.
Gotcha. So it's kind of an ongoing process. It's not necessarily just a bounded one.
Yeah, it's an ongoing process. I mean, some goals may take a year, but the idea is to really make sure that we're not using the action plan to really develop long-term goals. If a student's long-term goal is to, let's say, get their associates in computer science, then of course we're going to break that into short-term goals, which is attend class or get experience in that field or do sessions at the learning center to work with a tutor to make sure that they're on task.
Gotcha. So setting milestones and revisiting the plan.
Correct.
Any other questions?
Hi, Mira. This is Janet, and sorry I'm not online. I'm having a little difficulty figuring out the link to the slides. I know that Onondaga's Pathways Careers, through Jay's leadership and with Matt now, and has worked to put in place a lot of different supports around career development for students. But I know that increasingly you're looking at linking workforce staff at the college and to the effort. And I was just curious, I mean, some of it is so, you know, greed and goal specific for the students. How do you see that moving over? Do you see it being a similar process, or I mean, how do you, or have you had a chance to sort of look at that and how it links up?
Can you repeat that first part of your question there?
Sure. The first part of my question was, the discrete, noticing the discrete things that you're teaching students, from resume writing to goal planning, and knowing that you all, having done this sort of in OPC in-house are now expanding to work with folks in your workforce arena with this as well. I'm thinking specifically of Aaron and Eliyahu. I was wondering what you envision will be the way in which the students continue to work at this light. So, for example, will there continue to be workshops, or will it be carried out differently?
We look to retain the same sort of, you know, different options and menu of services, but still using the action plan as our driving force, even with the additional staff. So some of it might be more group-focused, but also keeping the individualized career counseling options available as well.
Thanks, Ned.
This is Sheldon. I know that we are running out of time for this call. I did want to mention that Onondaga recently developed a two-year timeline that identifies specific career-based skills for year one students and year two students, and then has given operational definitions to each of these categories of skills or activities, and they relate to the menus that the students agree to as far as what they will participate in the program. Perhaps this might be something in a future call that could be addressed.
Thank you.
Yeah, we could share that.
I think that would be great.
Definitely.
As you've pointed out, we have run out of time. One of these days I will create a PowerPoint presentation that's not 200 slides long. So maybe we shall continue this topic and go into that timeline, which I think will help us understand how this is an ongoing milestone-driven process that can take place. And then we can also hear from some of our other programs on the line. So saved by the bell, but Zach and Helga, I hope we can hear about your programs a little bit more next time and hopefully have Georgia and Virginia with us as well. All right. Well, I thank everybody. We will post this presentation and many of the resources we heard discussed today, and we will look forward to speaking with you again in 2 months. Again, please let me know if you're having any difficulties with the listserv, and I will continue to stay in touch through that mechanism.
Thank you.
Take care, everybody.
Thanks, Mary.
Talk to you in June.
Thanks, Mary.
Bye.